Galatians chapter 6, if you want to turn in your Bibles. So remember, gentlemen, after the service, because I'm going to forget after the service to say it, if you're willing to move that piano, just go do it. It'll take 3 minutes just to get it away from the wall so it doesn't come paint. Galatians chapter 6, beautiful passage. Never preached on it before, but it's a very important truth for us as Christians about being truly spiritual and what that means to the Lord according to His Word. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." So ye which are spiritual, let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house and to open your precious and preserved word together. We pray you'd use it now in our lives to teach us, Lord, our desires to please you. So Lord, may we leave changed and more like Jesus. Meet with us now. Guide every aspect of this service to be pleasing to you. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we talk about the first phrase, I'd like to start with the phrase, "ye which are spiritual." Because that's kind of the heart of this passage. Ye which are spiritual. And what we're seeing already, you've already seen it in the passage, is spirituality is revealed in our actions, isn't it? And primarily our actions in being a blessing to others, which isn't surprising. Because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another," in John 13:34. So, ye which are spiritual, what does that mean, spiritual? It means a Christian that is spirit-filled, spirit-led. You know, we're commanded in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded in the Bible to live in the Spirit. We're commanded to be led by the Spirit. And we could go on and on. But ye which are spiritual. So this is not talking about the basics of the Christian life. A spiritual Christian is obviously going to be reading his Bible. He's obviously going to be in prayer. He's obviously going to be faithful to church. He's going to be tithing. He's going to be serving the Lord with his gifts. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a Christian that is spirit-filled, spirit-led. And God says a Christian that is spiritual will exhibit these things that we've talked about in the passage. And so the first thing that we see, and we know who it's written to, by the way, says brethren. The first thing we see is a spiritual Christian is watching out for other Christians. Did you see that? If a man be overtaken in a fault, it means that a spiritual Christian sees this happen. They're on the lookout and they spot Christians that have been overtaken in a fault, Christians that are backsliding, Christians that have fallen. A spiritual Christian sees this because they're being led by the Spirit and the Spirit is leading them to be a blessing to that person. Ye which are spiritual, if a man be overtaken in a fault. And this is something that all Christians are supposed to participate in. But this is also, according to the Lord, one of the ways that we'll know, am I spiritual? So it's not so much about having a to-do list. It's about being led by the Spirit. What will the Spirit lead us to do? Well, first of all, He'll lead us to watch out for one another. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:25, if you would. This is something that we as God's people, part of the body of Christ, are commanded to do, is to watch out for our fellow believers. So again, if a Christian is spiritual, the basics are a given. Like again, they're going to be faithful to church, they're going to be praying, reading their Bible, giving and so forth. That's like what I would call the baby steps of Christianity. This is a Christian that's being led by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The church is to be looking out for itself, and the spiritual Christians are going to be looking and the Spirit's going to say that person needs your help. That person needs you to be a blessing. That person needs you to pray for them. That's a spiritual Christian. They're watching out for their brothers and sisters is not just inward focus, just me, me, me. It's others. Because that's ultimately why we're here. We're here for others. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we're to be preferring one another. Galatians 5:13 says that we're to serve one another. 1 Peter 3:8 says we're to have compassion one of another. And we could go on and on. We are here to be a blessing to others. And so a spiritual Christian, firstly, we see in verse 1, is watching out for other Christians to make sure that if they need your help, you're there. Now, the second thing we see in verse 1 is a spiritual Christian not only observes and sees when a Christian has a need, but it says that they attempt to restore that person. Did you see that? It says, restore such an one. So now it's not just observing and noting that there's a problem, but then a spiritual Christian is going to do something about it and try to help that believer be restored back to their faith. It says, restore such an one. Go to James 5, if you would, where James expresses this need in Christianity as well. James chapter 5, verse 19. I don't believe this is talking about the unsaved. Some people argue that it may, but I think it's talking about Christians with Christians. But it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I believe he's talking to brethren here, and he's talking about a Christian who errs from the truth and a Christian who backslides. And it says convert him. It means restore him, bring him back to putting God first, back to serving the Lord. Otherwise, it's just going to go further and further, and they may end up with the ultimate chastisement, which is physical death. And we know that from many other scriptures. But we're told in the scriptures to have fervent charity among ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, fervent charity. What does that mean? Charity, of course, is love, and it's what we're to have for one another, but we all know love is action. So a spiritual Christian is not only watching out for his brothers and sisters, but then when he sees a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, what does he do? But he restores. Now, he has to be spiritual. Because if he's not, it's not going to come across in the right spirit, is it? And it might be taken the wrong way. And that's why he says, number 3 of verse 1, in the spirit of meekness. So a spiritual Christian tries to help other Christians that have been overtaken in a fault. They see the need, and they are led by the Spirit of God to try to restore that person, but they're doing it with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because, let's face it, when one Christian approaches another Christian and says, you need help, it can be taken the wrong way. It can be received the wrong way. And it could cause anger instead of restoration. And that's why it says the spirit of meekness. Well, where does meekness come from? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. This meekness comes from God. This ability to approach people with the right spirit so that you're received in the right spirit. Meekness. Go to James 3. We'll see a bit more about this. James 3:13. But God wants our conversation or our behavior to be always overridden with meekness. Notice James 3:13. Who is a wise man and a doer with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You know, wisdom can cause a person to get puffed up. Well, I know more of the Bible than you do. I know more of the Bible than most Christians. That's the opposite of meekness, isn't it? That's why he says meekness of wisdom. So a spiritual Christian obviously has wisdom because they're in the Word, but they apply that wisdom with the spirit of meekness. And they approach others who need their help in a spirit of meekness. That's a spiritual Christian. So number one, they're watching. And the Spirit is showing them that person needs your help. That person needs you to pray for them. That person needs you to be a blessing to them. Number two, they restore. They don't just see it and acknowledge the need, but then they do something about it. And that's the tough part, isn't it? It's one thing to see it. It's another thing to pray about it. It's another thing to actually do something about it. It's another thing to actually go to someone and say, I love you in the Lord, and I want to be a help to you. Because you just don't know. You've got always got that hidden fear of rejection. But a person who's spiritual is willing to overcome those fears. And they will approach the person, number three, in the spirit of meekness. Number four, verse one. A spiritual Christian, it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself. A spiritual Christian, and we'll talk more about this when we get down to verse 3, but a spiritual Christian recognizes that they aren't perfect, that they're a sinner saved by grace. Now, you would think it'd be the opposite, wouldn't you? You'd think that a truly spiritual Christian would say, oh, I'm a spiritual Christian. I can handle anything. No, a spiritual Christian says, I actually can't handle anything without God. And that I'm weak just like everybody else. A spiritual Christian says, I got to watch out for me too. And make sure I don't get drawn into sin. Make sure that I don't get tempted to sin based on me trying to help this other Christian. It might end up not going the way you expect it to, then you're going to have to show long-suffering, show forgiveness. Otherwise, you might be tempted to get angry, to retaliate, whatever. That's not a spiritual Christian. So considering thyself. And the Bible says to Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh. In other words, you know up front what your weaknesses are, and you know up front what you need help with yourself, and you're always taking those to the Lord and trusting Him so that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So a spiritual Christian is watching, they're trying to restore, they're doing it in the spirit of meekness, but they're considering themselves always, I'm only one step away from being that person. I could fall too. And we should always have that attitude. So, verse 2, number 5. A spiritual Christian bears one another's burdens. This is big. Bear ye one another's burdens. Well, first of all, you can't do that if you don't know what they are. If you don't talk and communicate. But a spiritual Christian understands that they're not just here for themselves, they're here for others too. And when a Christian has a burden, they're willing to share it. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 to weep with them that do weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. They bear one another's burdens. If you go to Romans chapter 15 in verse 1, the Bible tells us that we're here not just for ourselves. We're here for others. Notice verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we're here to bear the weaknesses, the burdens, the infirmities of others as well. Say, wow, that's a lot. I've got enough of my own burdens. That's right. That's why it has to be a spiritual Christian. Because a carnal Christian can't do this. A carnal Christian can only work on their own burdens. They can't take on other people's too. But God says, bear ye one another's burdens. We're told in Hebrews 10, it says, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To try to help others live for Christ. To bear one another's burdens. And that's what a spiritual Christian does. Number 6, verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I mentioned this earlier. But a spiritual Christian has an accurate perception of themselves. Where do they get that? From the Spirit. Because they spend time with God. They spend time communing with God and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit points out in the Word their own weaknesses, their own mistakes. And so a spiritual Christian never thinks that he's above falling himself. That's what it says. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, without Christ we're all nothing. We're just sinners that deserve hell, and that's it. But the devil likes to use wisdom, knowledge, even spirituality sometimes against us through pride, and it can go the wrong way. And that's a spiritual Christian keeps that in check and says, no, I'm close to God, but I'm a sinner. And if it wasn't for God, I'd be in trouble too. You know, the Bible says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him, in Proverbs 26. And then in Romans 12, if you look there, Romans 12, verse 3, most of you know verses 1 and 2 quite well. Probably 80% of Christians know verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, right? Beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And verse 2, be not conformed. But what about verse 3? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So a spiritual Christian has an accurate perception of himself. I'm just a sinner. And the only reason God uses me is because God uses me. Not because I'm worthy. Not because I'm better than anybody else. I forgot what number that was. 5, 6. Anyway, verse 4 is our next one. Number 7. This is number 7, verse 4. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. What does that mean? It means that a spiritual Christian is always subjecting himself to self-examination. Because there can always be that temptation to think that we are where we need to be, so we're going to focus on the faults of others and the sins of others. And that's exactly what the devil wants. No, we need to be constantly examining us. Every morning, Lord, as David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Every day we need to be asking God, show me, Lord. Show me where the sin is in my heart. Show me where the sin is in my life. Constantly self-examining. Constantly looking at themselves in light of the Word of God and saying, Lord, show me. And go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. God explains this as well, that we're to be constantly examining ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, look at verse 5. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Examine yourselves. A spiritual Christian never stops proving his own work. Never stops examining himself. And then back in our passage, Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, and not in another. You know, a spiritual Christian never compares himself to another Christian. We all know the devil tempts us to do this, doesn't he? To compare ourselves and say, yep, I'm a better Christian than that person. The devil loves that. A spiritual Christian never does that. Spiritual Christian, it's all, I'm gonna answer to God for myself, and I am a sinner, and I'm not going to compare myself to other Christians. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, where the Bible tells us to do that is a mistake. And again, it's one of the things the devil uses against us. It's called pride. But a spiritual Christian never compares himself to another Christian. You should only compare yourself to Jesus Christ. That's it. And once you measure up, you're good. Which means you won't be good until you get to heaven. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "These things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Everything that we've ever done, everything that we've accomplished, and everything that we have all comes from God. Which means we have no place to ever rejoice in what we've done or what we've accomplished. God should get all the glory. And we have no place to compare. There's another passage in 2 Corinthians that says, "They comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So a spiritual Christian never compares. And then lastly, verse 5 of our passage, I think this is number 9, a spiritual Christian recognizes that he is accountable to God for his own behavior. It says, "Every man shall bear his own burden." You know, when we teach the counseling class in the Bible college, one of the first points of biblical counseling is everyone needs to understand they are accountable for their behavior. It has to start there. Because in the world today, everybody wants to blame their behavior on their upbringing, how someone treated them. They always want to blame it on something. And God says, no, we are accountable for our own behavior. End of story. And a spiritual Christian says, I'm accountable. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Let's turn there. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to try to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm not going to try to blame anyone else. I'm not going to try to blame anything else. I'm accountable for me. And if I'm not what I should be, then I need to change it. That's it. I'm accountable. 1 Corinthians 3:8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." We are not going to be able to get to heaven and say, I want you to let me in, Lord, because my parents were saved. Or my wife or my husband was saved. No, we're going to stand alone. And a spiritual Christian recognizes that they are accountable for their own behavior. That's it. They can't blame anyone else. How many times do we blame like a bad temper on other people? Well, they wound me up. Doesn't matter. If you lost your temper, that's on your head. That's a spiritual Christian. So, what a beautiful passage. What a beautiful truth in these five verses, that a truly spiritual Christian is being led by the Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit. They're controlled with the Spirit of God. And they're constantly watching out for others, looking to restore others in the spirit of meekness. They're always looking at themselves as well to try to keep themselves in check. But they're out there to bear one another's burdens, constantly making sure that they keep their own pride in check through self-examination and having an accurate biblical self-perception, and never blame, never compare, and only accountable for themselves. Not what we would expect. You know, we think it's going to be, you know, the great soul winner and amazing knowledge of God's Word and all these things. Those things will all come if we're spiritual. But God says, no, a truly spiritual Christian is looking out for others in the right spirit. It's beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that